कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
परमहंस परिव्रजक आचार्य स्तोत्र श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन बीवीटी फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजक आचार्य स्तोत्र श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की नामाचार्य श्रीला हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की गंगा मैया की जमुना मैया की तुलसी देवी की वंदी देवी की भक्ति देवी की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः नमः पंकजनाभाय नमः पंकजमालिने नमः पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, verse number 10. Chapter entitled Conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva. Tada tad aham ishasya भक्तानां समभीप्सिताः अनुग्रहं मन्यमानाः प्रातिष्ठं दिशमुत्तरम् तदा तत् अहम् ईशस्य भक्तानां समभीप्सिताः अनुग्रहं मन्यमानाः प्रातिष्ठं दिशमुत्तरम् तदा तत् अहम् ईशस्य भक्तानां समभीप्सिताः अनुग्रहं मन्यमानाः प्रातिष्ठं दिशमुत्तरम् word-to-word meanings. Tada, at that time. Tat, that. Aham, Ishasya, of the Lord. Bhaktanam, of the devotees. Sham, mercy. Abhipsataha, desiring. Anugraham, special benediction. manyamanah, thinking in that way, pratishtham, departed, disham uttaram, in the northern direction. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. I took this as the special mercy of the Lord, who always desires benediction for His devotees, and so thinking, I started for the north. Purport. Confidential devotees of the Lord see in every step a benedictory direction of the Lord. What is considered to be an odd or difficult moment in the mundane sense is accepted as special mercy of the Lord. Mundane prosperity is a kind of material fever, and by the grace of the Lord, the temperature of this material fever is gradually diminished, and spiritual health is obtained step by step. Mundane people misunderstand it. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalitam Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vatsadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. First of all, very sincerely seeking the blessings of all the devotees, both offline and online. And I also would like to kindly acknowledge the inputs given by His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhu and His Grace Pavaneshwar Prabhu. When I approached them for guidance, and so today's verse, it is a conversation. In fact, our most of the scriptures are conversation. Bhagavad Gita is a conversation. Bhagavatam is a conversation. And most of the places it is so. So this is a conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva. And here, Narad Muni is relating his story to Srila Vyasadeva upon Vyasadeva's inquiries. He was only 5 years old and he had his mother's shelter. That was the only shelter he had. By providence, she was bitten by a snake. But Narad Muni was blessed not to crumble and be crushed under this kind of a devastating setback. He turned the failure into a stepping stone to success. Normally, when people are told no, No means spelling is N-O. But for an enterprising person, for a person who is positive in the sense that oriented towards God, spirituality, positivity, you can use so many words. But for such a person, the spelling of N-O is new opportunity. It's a new opportunity. Ek naya darwaza khul raha hai. That's how it is. So, by grace of the Bhakti Vedantist, Narad Muni had developed faith in the Lord as the supreme shelter. So one shelter was gone. So immediately he did not fumble. He said, yes, I have my supreme shelter. He walked north at the age of 5 alone in search of God. In the purport, Prabhupada writes very nicely mentions, material prosperity is material fever. In his previous life, this is in the 5th verse of the same chapter, this is the translation. In his previous life, when Naradji was impregnated with spiritual knowledge by the grace of the great sages, there was a tangible change in his life, although he was only a boy of 5 years. That is an important symptom visible after initiation by the bona fide spiritual master. So this is a very important point that is covered here. We are on the 10th verse and this is already mentioned in the 5th verse. So here it says that Narad Muni was actually initiated by the Bhakti Vedantists, whom he served very, very humbly and with great submission, very eager to learn from them. That is actually the qualification for a person to gain knowledge. There is this famous rhyme, which children say, Main chai ki kitli hoon, ye mera hatta hai. This thing you must be knowing. I am a little teapot, this is my handle, this is my spout. So, in that, the lid is on top of the teapot. The lid is asking the teapot, you are giving tea to everybody, but why not to me? So the pot is replying, you are sitting on the top of my head. Come down, you will get it. So that humility, that submission is very, very important to receive knowledge. So, further, Narad Muni, a boy of 5, said, I took this misfortune as a special mercy of the Lord, who only gives benediction to his devotees, and so started for the north. We will discuss more about this afterwards. Mundane prosperity is a material fever. By the grace of God, this temperature is gradually reduced and spiritual health is obtained. This is an important theme for today's discussion. And also, how Narad Muni was able to imbibe the mood of the Bhakti Vedantist. He got their grace. We say we have to get the grace of the Lord. We say we have to get the grace of the Vaishnavas. We say we have to get the grace of the seniors. What is this getting the grace? Grace is like a transfer of funds from one account to another, but on the spiritual plane. Transfer of funds is done by NEFT, RTGS, all these things are there, banking. But here also there is transfer of funds, but it is on the spiritual plane. When the account is credited, you gain. When your account is credited, you gain. When grace flows from the Lord, the spiritual master, Vaishnavas, you gain spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding, maturity. That is what you gain. And this is described also as Sukriti. So, Krishna very nicely says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chatur vidham bhajante mam sukritino arjuna. So, there are 4 kind of people, Krishna says, who come to me. But then, one important underlying qualification is required for all 4 of them, and that is Sukriti. That is, you must have sufficient bank balance to make the purchase. If you go into a jewelry shop, and you say, ye kitne ka hai? And when he sells the price, you fumble, you don't have the money in your pocket. How can you buy? Similarly, when you are looking for a devotional service, you have to pay the price. And that price is, you must have your balance of Sukriti. So with favorable balance, you can take to spiritual process. And devotional service is like a lift. The beauty of devotional service is you get into the lift and then you don't have to climb and exert yourself. You just press the button, make the request, and the Lord, by His mercy, He pulls you up. The Vaishnavas, by their mercy, they pull you up. The spiritual master pulls you up. So that is a self-generating process. And regarding material fever, just this Sunday, His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu, when he was talking, he mentioned a very nice point. And he mentioned this word also. So when somebody newly comes to the temple, devotees generally talk to them, and the end of the conversation is, please chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is what the devotees have and that is what they can give. So, and after some time when the person begins to chant and he says, okay, now I'm chanting, how many rounds? One round, two rounds. And then he is gradually told, actually we have a system of chanting 16 rounds in a day. So Sudama Prabhu very nicely says, Sola mala pet me gola. People get a shock, they can't digest it. 16 rounds, atrocious waste of time, I don't have the time. And then they say, I don't have the time, that is the symptom of material fever. When you put the thermometer and you see it is 101, 102, you say it is fever. So when you get a reply, that is a gauge. You can know, yes, this person is suffering materially. Fever lag gaya isko, isko bukhar ho gaya. And when a person advances spiritually and then you say, are you chanting? He says, yeah, 16 rounds. Only 16 rounds. Because his spiritual health is restored now. Now, he is very happy to chant 16 and even more. So, essentially what we see, there are two kinds of reactions to any situation in life. Life will throw challenges at everybody. But how you respond to those challenges actually shows what you are, what you are made of. There was one very nice quotation. It says, one person was walking with a cup of coffee in his hand and somebody from the opposite side came and dashed against him. And the question was, what will happen when somebody dashes, with having a cup of coffee in your hand and somebody dashes, what will happen? So, people try to give different replies, but the simple answer is, the coffee will spill, it will fall. So the answer is, the coffee will spill because there is only coffee in the cup. If there was orange juice, then orange juice would have spilled. Similarly in life, when we are going on with our daily routine, something happens, we get a kind of, somebody dashes us, means in the sense that something upsetting happens. Then what will happen? What is there inside you will come out. Once we were going in a lift for some program and senior brahmacharis were with me in the lift and the local resident also got in and the door was closed and somebody came running and tried to open the door. So the man who was inside the lift, he gave the choicest of blessings to him. You can understand what I mean to say. Third language. Aisa gali baka puchho mat. It was embarrassing. Are such senior Vaishnavas are standing here and look at this man. But that is what is inside him. Uske andar pura kachra kut kut ke bhara hai. Dhakka laga to kachra hi bhara hai na. That's what it is. So materialist understanding of reality is limited by sense perception. So there are two kinds of people, materialist and spiritualist. So when some kind of an event takes place in your life, aapko dhakka lagta hai, then what happens? Materialist understanding of reality is limited by sense perception. Jo dikhta hai, wo sach hai. Other than that, he doesn't believe anything. If you want something, then show me, mere haath mein do. That is why the scientists say, can you produce it on the laboratory table? Can I see it under the microscope? This is their question. Spiritualist sees the reality beyond sense perception. There is sense perception, but the spiritualist also knows there is a reality behind this sense perception. There is a mango tree and there is a limbu tree. The mango gives sweet fruits, the limbu gives sour. The same soil, the same rain, the same sunshine. But what is the difference? Because the tree is different. It is programmed differently by the Supreme Lord. So this is the vision of a spiritualist. He sees, even in a mango and a limbu, he sees the hand of the Supreme Lord. He sees the reality beyond the sense perception. What is seen in front, but what is the causative factor, he is able to perceive that. A mundaner is focusing only on the immediate cause. If there is an accident, somebody dashes against you, immediately he will go to grab the collar of the driver. You are the cause for the accident. But what does the spiritualist? He focuses on the ultimate and the remote cause. Oh, why did I meet with an accident? Probably it is my karma. That is the remote cause. And ultimate cause, of course, is the Supreme Lord. Without His sanction, nothing can happen. So he says, well, the Lord has sanctioned it. So there must be something good in me, even in this accident. That is how the spiritualist will see it. A materialist or a mundaner, he becomes revengeful or critical of the immediate cause. Main tujhe nahi chhodunga. Something happens to him, main aapko dekh lunga. That will be his attitude. But the spiritualist, he takes responsibility. He says, oh, this is because of my past karma. He says, no, I don't want to take any action against the other person. He is humble and is reconciled and surrendered to the will of the Lord. This is the essential difference between a mundaner and the spiritualist. The Lord is our ever well-wisher. His actions are meant to elevate us. With the right attitude, you achieve the altitude. That is it. Attitude is required to gain altitude. What pulls us down is our own karma. Only God can help us overcome and clear our backlog of karma. So we have to understand in life this important aspect. And this is highlighted in this particular verse. What is the response of a 5-year-old boy to a calamity in his life? Rather than complaining, rather than cursing his fate, rather than looking for sympathy, he immediately has taken the decision, my supreme shelter is there. He is the Lord. And he starts walking north. So we have some examples. Let us take some case studies. Duryodhan and Arjun. Then you have Kritadyuti and Chitraketu. Then you have Daksha and Narad Muni and Parikshit Maharaj. Charvak Muni and Brahma. So, Duryodhan. Duryodhan is an example of a gross materialist. He fought for kingdom out of passion and greed. That was his motivation for fighting. And he tried to entice Krishna of all the people with a gorgeous feast. In local language we say maska lagana. Very, very gross language. But that is what he was trying to. He was actually making a fool of himself when he was approaching Krishna. Oh, I have arranged all this for you. You think Krishna does not know? Duryodhan did not know who is Krishna. Krishna refused because he saw the intent behind this person and he simply refused. The corporate sharks today, they entice people with wine and women. That is what is happening. They are the modern avatar of Duryodhan. And then, what did he ask for when he was given a choice? Krishna gave a choice to both Arjun and Duryodhan. Do you want my army or do you want me? If you take my army, I will not come. And if you take me, I will not fight. I will not hold any weapons. So, Duryodhan was very happy to have the army. He was very glad that he got the army. He said, I am very fortunate. But what is the army? It is representing the external energy of the Lord, the material energy of the Lord, the inferior energy of the Lord. That is what it represents. And that is what he went for. That is what his aim was. That is what his direction was. And so he went for that. Arjun, on the other hand, he surrenders to the ultimate cause, Krishna. Arjun had a lot of objection for fighting. So he submitted himself. He told Krishna that I am now your surrendered soul. Karpanya dosho. I am surrendered to you. And then, when Krishna explained the whole philosophy to him and explained to him why he should fight, he says, Karishye vachanam tavo. He simply surrendered to Krishna. He was not having a revengeful attitude. He was actually fighting his own guru and fighting his own grandfather. So they were an object of his love and veneration and respect. But still he fought. There was no revenge in his fight. And he was not creating any karma when he was fighting. With every arrow Arjuna was shooting, he was sending the people who were the recipients of his arrow back to Godhead. And with every arrow he was shooting, he was not binding himself in any karma. Rather, he was disentangling from his karma, because he was executing the will of the Lord. He made himself an instrument in the Lord's hand. That is what he did. Forgives and closes the karmic account. The way to close the karmic account is, abhi ek khata band karo, means you forgive the opponent. That is how your karma stops over there. Otherwise, it continues into the next life or into the next phase of your life. He fought for dharma. He fought for Krishna. That was what Arjun was. He asked for Krishna, not the army, the superior, the internal potency of the Lord. That is Arjuna. The next example we can understand is Kritadyuti. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 14, Verse number 54. The translation is as follows. When Kritadyuti, who is the wife of Chitraketu, after great tapasya, after great good fortune, by the blessings of Narad Muni and Angira Rishi, they are having a son and they are overjoyed. Chitraketu was not having a son even after having a million wives, it is said. So now that good fortune had come to them, they were overjoyed and anxious. And Chitraketu was showering all his attention on Kritadyuti, his wife, who was able to give him a son. This made the other queens very, very envious, and they poisoned the child and the child died. Now this was a calamity. Now what was her reaction and a setback in her life? Alas, O Providence, O Creator, you are certainly inexperienced in creation, for during the lifetime of a father, you have caused the death of his son, thus acting in opposition to your creative laws. If you are determined to contradict these laws, you are certainly the enemy of living entities and are never merciful. She is accusing the Lord of not being merciful. And she is complaining that you are acting in opposition to your creative laws. This is the way a conditioned soul condemns the Supreme Creator when he meets reverses. Actually, it is not the Creator, but the conditioned soul who is inexperienced. This is what Prabhupada mentions in the purport of this verse. Kritadyuti is accusing the Lord as merciless. Now, what does Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, verse number 25 say? Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram surudham sarva bhutanam gyatvamam shanti marchati. Lord is the dearest friend of every living entity. He is very merciful. Gita speaks the absolute truth. So, sona kasauti pe khara utarta hai. I remember one incident when I was just about 10 or 12 years old. I went with my mother to the goldsmith. And she wanted to give her old chain and make a new one. It was quite worn out. Gold chain. So what did he do? He brought out a black colored stone. Actually, that is what is known as kasauti, the name of that stone. Testing stone for testing the purity of gold. And he just rubbed this piece of this ornament against that stone. And you could see a golden line on that stone. And to verify how many carats of gold it was, he had a testing sample piece, like in a pencil, like a graphite rod you have in a pencil like that. There was a golden rod embedded in a wooden pencil. And he drew another line with that, on this. That was 24 carat gold pencil. So when you compare the two, you are able to immediately make out a reddish tinge in the gold which has got some copper mix in it. And the pure gold is pure yellow. So that is kasauti. Kasauti means testing stone. So in life, Bhagavad Gita serves as kasauti. Bhagavad Gita is the testing stone for each and every person. When a situation comes in our life, what is our reaction? And we can gauge it by comparing the words of the Gita and then can then understand. If a person is going to blaspheme the Lord and, shower insults on the devotees and the process and everything on the devotional process, then we know that the person is wrongly placed. He can gauge it himself. Tally the decisions of the Gita with your own reactions and you have the clear comparison between the two. Where you stand and what is the absolute truth. Gita is the standard of absolute truth. So Lord is the dearest friend of every living entity. Gita speaks. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita is the kasauti. Chitraketu Maharaj. Of course, now we just mentioned this story. Now, subsequently what happened was, Chitraketu was blessed and he was then in the heavenly planets. And he was traveling on his airplane and at that time he saw Lord Shiva with Parvati on his lap and all the ascetics and the renunciates sitting in front of him and he's talking to them and he's having Parvati on his lap and embracing her. So Chitraketu begins to laugh at this scene. He's laughing because he feels, look at Lord Shiva, what a great renunciate he is. He can afford to do this in front of all the renunciates because he is renounced from inside. He is not making a show of renunciation. Even though he is having his wife on his lap, he is a perfect renunciate. So he can, you know, set an example in any way. And then Parvati takes offense and she curses. She says, you are teasing me. You are making fun of me. She feels like that. She feels insulted. Or she feels you are teasing my husband. So, she feels insulted and she is cursing. But when she curses, Lord Shiva is pacifying her. Parvati, you don't know who is Chitraketu. He is a dear devotee of the Lord. He is one of the pure devotees. And then he utters this verse. This is the verse he speaks. Narayana para sarve na kutashchana bibhyati. Swarga pavargo narakeshu api tulyata darshina. Devotee is solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. Their focus is only devotional service. They are not bothered about where they are placed. What placement are you going to give? Are you going to keep me in the hell? Wherever they are, they only hanker for the service of the Lord. And that is all they want. That is their only nourishment. They don't want anything else. That is purity. Uncontaminated by the surroundings, unaffected by those around you. Having standing on your own strength, standing with platform of stability. Daksha. Daksha Prajapati. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 5, 41. This is the translation of that verse. Here is Daksha, when he is very upset with Narad Muni. Narad Muni first makes his 1,000 sons into devotees. Actually, Daksha wanted them to procreate. He wanted them, because he is a prajapati, you know. His job is to populate. So now he has got 1,000 sons and he has told them that you perform austerities and then you get married and you have to populate this world. But here, Narad Muni is approaching them and telling them, don't get entangled in all these things. Just go to the shelter of the Lord and come out of this material cycle. So then they become celibates. When that happens, the purpose of Daksha is defeated. And he says, okay. Then he has another 100 sons. Again, Narad Muni repeats the same thing. And this time, Daksha can't take it. So, what he says to Narad Muni, how he is actually blaspheming Narad Muni. He says, material enjoyment is indeed the cause of all unhappiness. But one who cannot give it up unless one has personally experienced how much suffering it is. But one cannot give it up unless one experiences how much suffering it is. Therefore, one should be allowed to remain in so-called material enjoyment while simultaneously advancing in knowledge to experience the misery of this false material happiness. Then, without help from others, one will find material enjoyment detestful. Those whose minds are changed by others do not become as renounced as those who have personal experience. So he is finding fault with Narad Muni. What are you doing? Why are you unnecessarily, you know, interfering with my sons? You are trying to make them ascetics and making them celibates and not letting them procreate. And he gives solid reasons. This is nothing but Sambhog Se Samadhi philosophy, which is in modern times in circulation. So, in the purport, it is mentioned. Prabhupada is refuting this argument in the purport. This is what Daksha says, but what is Prabhupada got to say? It is not a fact that because material enjoyment involves so many painful conditions, one will automatically become detached. One needs the blessings of a devotee like Narad Muni. Then one can renounce his attachment for the material world. The young boys and girls of Krishna consciousness movement have given up the spirit of material enjoyment, not because of practice, but by the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants. Here Prabhupada is very, very humble. Actually, it is because of Prabhupada. He is the one who was the leading preacher. He is the one who made all these hippies into happies. But he says it is because of the servants of Mahaprabhu. He doesn't say, I did it. This is the greatness of this is how you see the greatness of Prabhupada. Never taking credit. Then he says, in verse number 43, Daksha continues, you have made me lose my sons once and now you have again done the same inauspicious thing. Therefore, you are a rascal who does not know how to behave towards others. You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you to have no residence anywhere. This is the curse he is pronouncing to Narad Muni. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains, because Prajapati Daksha was a grahamedi who wanted to remain in household life, he was materially diseased. This is Prabhupada's assessment of Daksha. Daksha's expertise was more in sex life. Therefore, his views are contrary to the teachings of the Shastras. He was revengeful, he was critical. He was considering the immediate cause. He said, because of Narad this is happening. So he is immediately cursing Narad Muni. And you can contrast this with Narad Muni. Narad Muni, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 5, Verse number 44. After the curse, what does Narad Muni? So this is the translation of that verse. Shukdev Goswami is speaking. He says, Shukdev Goswami continued, my dear king, he is telling Parikshit Maharaj, since Narad Muni is an approved saintly person, when cursed by Prajapati Daksha, he replied, Tad Badham, yes, what you have said is good. I accept this curse. He could have cursed Prajapati Daksha in return, but because he is a tolerant and merciful sadhu, he took no action. And in the purport, it is mentioned, Prabhupada is writing, now it may be asked, why Narad Muni stayed in the presence of Prajapati Daksha and tolerated all his accusations and curses? Therefore, Narad Muni expected that after delivering his curse, Daksha, satisfied and freed from anger, would repent his misbehavior and thus get a chance to become a Vaishnava and be delivered. This is the compassion of Narad Muni. This is the greatness of a devotee. He doesn't take offense to what has been done to him, what has been said to him. Rather, he is accepting that curse. He says, it is good for me. Anyway, I am a preacher, I have to travel. And I don't have a family, I don't have a wife. But then, he is on the contrary, waiting. He says, let Daksha give up his anger. Let his steam come out. And then let him cool down. And then let him repent. And then I can forgive him. Anyway, Narada forgave Daksha. That is the greatness of a devotee. That is how you can contrast and compare how people respond to the same situation, and from them you can gauge what is their inner content, and then we can have the direction from Bhagavatam and Gita. Parikshit Maharaj also, he could have counter-cursed Shringi, but he didn't do that. Gita teaches how to live. Gita teaches the art of living. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches how to live, L-E-A-V-E, the art of dying. So you have these two wonderful shastras telling us both how to live and how to leave. Because we come into this world and we have to leave. So while we are living in this world, we have to prepare to leave. And Prabhupada, himself a great example in so many ways. In Canto 6, Chapter 5, Verse number 43, in the purport of that, what Prabhupada has said, Prabhupada says, in the parampara system from Narad Muni, I have also been cursed. I cannot stay anywhere, for I have been cursed by the parents of my young disciples. I do not mind this curse by the parents of my disciples, but now it is necessary that I stay in one place to finish another task. This translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was asking his young sannyasis, the young initiated sannyasis, you go and you preach all the world over, and this curse I will transfer to you. This is what Prabhupada told them. But then Prabhupada's intention is always for the betterment of the people at large. Now, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, verse, chapter 88, verse number 8, there is a very famous shloka. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Yasyaham anugrannami harishyate tad dhanam shanai, tato dhanam yajantyasya svajana dukkha dukkitam. The personality of Godhead said, if I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth. Then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way, he suffers one distress after another. This is exactly what was mentioned in the 9th verse. Today is the 10th verse. This is the response of Narad Muni. But the calamity, the distress that came over him was the loss of his mother. So this is the special mercy of the Lord. The Lord himself is proclaiming it. And what is in Prabhupada's life? We know Prabhupada's life. No need to mention it, but still, just for in the contextual, we have to mention it. Prabhupada had a flourishing business. He had wife and children. His father owned a cloth shop. At one point of time, Prabhupada even had a car. In those days, that is important. When Prabhupada focused on his preaching at Jhansi, his business failed. He lost his place at Jhansi. He left his family. He had reversal from all sides. He fully dedicated himself to the mission of his guru. He was short of funds. He suffered alone in Delhi. In Prabhupada's book, Introduction, page 29, it is mentioned, when years later ISKCON was established and growing with many disciples, he would say at that time, I could not understand at that time, but now I realize all those difficulties were assets. It was Krishna's mercy. Prabhupada's own words. The suffering in establishing ISKCON were like foundational pillars for Prabhupada, and therefore he compares them to assets. Then Charvak Muni, we have his famous verse, Ranam Kritva Dhritam Pivet, Yavat Jivet, Sukham Jivet, Basmi Bhutasya Dehasya Kuta, Punar Agamano Bhavet. His simple philosophy is, beg, borrow or steal, just enjoy. Oh, this is only one life that you have, do not worry about the future, no responsibility, no accountability. In this context, I remember, in Borivali East, I saw one board. It is Charvak restaurant. And what were they serving? It was a liquor bar. So you see, perfect name for the restaurant. And this is the philosophy. Khao piyo mauj karo. This is the materialist view. They are contrasting the two, you know. And then, on the other hand, Brahma, the topmost of the devotees, and the first created human being in this world, the first created living being in this world, what does he teach us? He teaches, Tattenu kampam susumikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvakvapurvi vidadam namaste jive tayo mukti pade sadayabha. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. This is how Brahmaji is teaching us. Life of unconditional surrender, responsibility for one's own past actions, acknowledging the overlordship of the Lord, not complaining and showing utter humility. This is the devotee's attitude. This is how we can contrast and compare, you know, these various aspects. And then we have this last statement in this purport of today's, that is, Pratishtham Dishamuttaram, that is, Narad Muni is telling that I started walking north. So, in Bhagavatam, Canto 10, chapter 52, verse number 2, this is in reference to Muchikunda. So, when Muchikunda gains the mercy of Lord Krishna, and he gets up from the cave, that incident we know, that how he led Kalayavan to the cave, and then afterwards Muchikunda looked at Kalayavan, Kalayavan was burnt to ashes, and then he acknowledges the presence of Lord Krishna and immediately surrenders to the Lord, and then he remembers that he has been sleeping for yugas together, and now that he has got up, the Lord blesses him. And then what does he do after that? He says, you still have some part of your life to live. So now the Lord is advising him, you go to the Himalayas, do penance and do engage in austerities. So he is going north. So here it is mentioned, when Muchikunda is walking, then he is seeing that the size of all human beings, animals, trees and plants was severely reduced, and thus realizing that the age of Kali was at hand, Muchikunda left for the north. Purport, that last line of this text, Jagama Disham Uttaram, he went toward the north, can be understood as follows. By travelling north in India, one comes to the world's highest mountains, the Himalayan range. There one can still find many beautiful peaks and valleys where there are quite hermitages suitable for austerity and meditation. Thus in Vedic culture, going to the north indicates renouncing the comforts of ordinary society and going to the Himalayan mountains to practice serious austerities for spiritual advancement. This is authentic, going to the north. And this is prescribed by the Lord Himself for any living entity who wants to gain spiritual advancement. Thus in Vedic culture, going to the north indicates renouncing the comfort of ordinary society and going to the Himalayan mountains to practice serious austerities for spiritual advancement. The Pandavas also set the same example. After Lord Krishna's departure, Pandavas gave up their kingdom and went north, Swarga Arohan. After the great battle, they won the kingdom. Their glory was at its peak. They had all the comforts of the palace. Kunti prayed, Krishna, in your presence, we have nothing to lose. In your absence, we have nothing to gain. And they didn't consider a second moment. They dropped everything and simply started walking. When they heard that Krishna has left this world, they had no attraction for this world. The kingdom, the glory, the name, the fame, and all the comforts of the palace, none of them could attract them. Just they left it how a person will leave stool and walk away. Simply they left and they walked. So transition from material to spiritual. How does it come? From the mundaner to the spiritualist. From the materialist to the spiritualist. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, in the summary, Prabhupada mentions, the conception of God derived through the material senses is inaccurate because the Supreme Lord is beyond the material senses. But when one engages his senses in devotional service, the eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed on the platform of the soul. When the Supreme Godhead becomes the aim of one's life, one is said to have attained spiritual knowledge. To bestow mercy upon them, he discloses his form, name, attributes and qualities to be worshipped within this material world. Narad Muni, Guru, therefore gave Pancharatra Vidhi, how to worship the form of the Lord within this material world. Along with the Bhagavad Vidhi, Shravanam Kirtanam, under the guidance of a spiritual master, when one follows the process, above process, one can go from material to the spiritual platform. And then lastly, one example of going to the north, of contemporary example, one of the stalwart sannyasis in ISKCON, Gaur Govind Maharaj. Yesterday, 8th of September, was his Vyas Puja. His legal name was Brajabandhu Manik. He went north to the Himalayas in search of Guru. He submitted his resignation, and in 1975 or 74, in the school where he was teaching as a headmaster, and he gave up his family life and he simply said that now I want to take sannyas. So that whole thing is there in the book, Gopal Jiyo. This is a very wonderful book. In this it is very nicely mentioned. So I don't have time to go into those details, but I am just making a brief reference also to seek the blessings of this great Vaishnava who has set such a beautiful example for all of us. And he was initiated into sannyas somewhere in the month of April, May 1975 by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada gave him three instructions. Translate my books into the Odia language. Establish a temple at Bhubaneswar and preach all over the world. He took these instructions to his heart of his guru and he lived those instructions. His entire life after that was simply living the instruction of Prabhupada. He would not eat or drink anything until he completed his quota of translation for the day. That was like, you know, very, very staunchly he was following, like Raghunath Das Goswami. And he constructed the Krishna Balaram temple at Bhubaneswar that was ordered to him, Prabhupada's order. And also, he went after 1985 all over the world preaching. And before, every time he would go for preaching, however far it may be, however difficult it was, from Bhubaneswar temple, he would travel all the way to Gadaigiri, the place where his Ishtadev, Gopalji, was there. It would take about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. The road was very bumpy and his leg was giving him a lot of problem. But irrespective of all those things, he would go all the way. He would take permission from Gopalji and only then go. Anything he would do, he would go and seek permission of Gopalji, his Ishtadev, and then he would do it. He had very, very close interaction with his deities. And even before taking sannyas in his life, he went to Gopalji and he slept for the night outside the temple. In the morning he got up. The Lord blessed him in his dream. And he said, yes, I have the permission of Gopalji to take sannyas. And then he left for the Himalayas. He went in search. Ultimately he found Prabhupada in Vrindavan. And there he surrendered his life. And that's a long story, but all those things are there. And anyway, now that this is a wonderful verse, a lot of instructions for us, a lot of things to understand. And I have tried to put this entire thing in one capsule, but I have written a few verses, but this is in Hindi, so please bear with me. The title is Manav Jeevan Ek Doraha. Manav Jeevan Ek Doraha Bhagwat Dham Ko Ek Hai Jata Sulabh Hai Duja Raah Jo Jata Jeevan Mrityu Ke Bhavar Mein 84 lakh योनि में जीव घायल होकर जब लौट आता साधु संत व आतुर रहते उसे बचाने सतर्क रहते गर जीव ने अपना सबक है सीखा उनका हाथ पकड़कर चलता कृष्ण पिता से उसे मिलाते एक आध्यात्मिक शरीर दिलाते सांसारिक खतरों से बचकर भगवत सेवा में जुट जाता नारद जी ने राह दिखाई अंधियारी में ज्योत जलाई अर्च विग्रह की पूजा करने पंचरात्र की विधि सिखाई उनके पद चिन्हों पर चलते स्वामी भक्त भक्ति वेदांत जी आए महामंत्र का जाप सिखाया नियमों का पालन समझाया भटकों को वह राह दिखाए प्रभु चरणों के मार्ग पर लाए उनकी महिमा है अपार मुख से बोलो बारंबार हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण थैंक यू ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय हरे कृष्णा